was like, thank goodness.
Okay, now I am. Okay, we're going in and we're looking at exceptions. So go down the list and find exceptions. Okay, essentially, if you remember back to when we started PLSQL, there were four different things. You had the declare, you had the begin, you had exceptions, and you had the ending. And we haven't looked at exceptions before, so this is the starting of exceptions. Okay, so this is how you can catch stuff without having a crash, basically. Okay, so you can say, if a problem occurs, this is how I want you to handle it. So the PLSQL allows the programmer to build in an exception handler to deal with exceptions that occur within the block, meaning the block of code. So they've got basically exceptions, maybe either Oracle errors that happen or where the programmer raises an exception. So basically you've got two categories of exceptions in the sense of the Oracle ones, and then you can actually write one. So there are, but then they break it down to three types of exceptions. Predefined Oracle errors that Oracle handles implicitly. Oracle errors that are not predefined that can be declared, and then your user-defined ones. So they break it down into two categories of Oracle errors. Okay, so some of the predefined ones are listed out here. Invalid cursor, login denied, no data found, program error, row type mismatch, too many rows. Too many rows usually is you should have had a cursor and you tried to process it. You know, if I say select into and I've got multiple things, that's that kind of thing. So there are those kinds of errors, and those are the first ones that they look at, where you can have predefined errors. Okay, so I'm starting up down here, and I have set up a VID number and a V-year goal. And then I said select ID number year goal into those where the ID number is greater than 77777. There are no records that meet that criteria, okay? There are no ID numbers that are greater than that. So I've got this exception when too many rows, and I've got another exception when no data found. So this one is going to be the when no data found. Okay, so it's going to do that select, and it can't process anything because it didn't find anything. And so what you're going to get is the no data found. Okay, and so it goes through, it does the select, and if you scroll down a little more, you'll see it run, and it came back when I said run, or at sign, which means run, at sign, pre-accept one, it came back and said not a valid ID number, okay, because that's the message that I said I wanted to put out. So I said when, and I picked an Oracle definition, no data found. That's one of the Oracle definitions, yeah.
Could you set up like a code in Git where the user would input the ID number and then the exception would be triggered if it was a 77777? You know what I mean? Like where the user is prompted to put in a number?
Sure.
But then what?
Yeah, I mean, because right up here I could have an ID number with the prompt right next to it.
Oh, okay.
So that I took in the number. But I don't understand still.
Well, I put it
why you'd want to do that. Go ahead.
Just in case somebody's lazy to write the code. But if I put a number that's too high, then they would prompt me. or tell me that the number's too high.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can do that, but then you would be saying, if you'd be taking in an ID, and then you'd have an if statement that said if the ID is greater than, and all that good stuff. So yes, you can do that, but that's not what we're doing. We're doing a predefined oracle error, which means no data found. Okay, so when we get to the you can write your own, you can have a wonderful time. But for now, we're going with the oracle errors, which is no data found. Okay, so when I test for greater than 7777, it comes back with no data found. Okay, so if I don't want a problem, as in a crash, kind of, I put in this, when no data found, put out that message. Now, it will not process, because once it's found an exception, it will not go on with the processing of that record. But if there was other processing in the program that was unrelated to that record, it would do it. Okay? So basically, I'm saying no data found. And then I went down one step below that, and I changed the select statement to say where ID number is less than that. And when it's less than that, then I'm going to get multiple rows. Okay, because I said select everything with the ID number less than that. Well, that's all my records. And so I'm going to get multiple records. But I'm saying select ID number year goal is the BID number B year goal. So therefore, I am looking for only one record. Okay, if I put a select in, I'm only looking for one record. If I have multiple records, I'm going to use a cursor. Okay, so if I have multiple records, I'm using a cursor. That's what I do. I put the records into the cursor, and I use the select to fill the cursor. So when I do just an ordinary select without a cursor, then I'm only going to get one record, hopefully. And if I'm getting more than one record, I've got a problem. And the problem I've got is too many rows. And I had them put out a message that said, multiple rows meet criteria. Okay. So I can go into these standards and get these standard Oracle messages, and I can put them out. Okay. And again, some of the other messages that I have up there are some of the predefined Oracle errors. And if you look up predefined Oracle errors in Google, you'll find a lot of them.
Could I make my own?
Huh?
Could I make my own?
No.
Yeah.
No. Are you Oracle?
I could be.
Okay. This is known as predefined Oracle errors. That means, yes, that's fine. There are spoiled brats, and there are spoiled brats. I want my own is a spoiled brat. Okay, so I've got predefined Oracle errors. Now, my other thing is that if I come down here, okay, I am now trapping an Oracle error. And what I did when I wanted to do this, these are other Oracle errors, but they're not predefined. So I went and I looked up an Oracle error that I had found in the past. And the Oracle error I looked up was 2291. Okay, and you know how if things go bad, you will get an Oracle error. And if you go and Google that Oracle error, you can find out what the error was about. Okay, so I went in and said, okay, I'm going to go and take a predefined error. And I basically decided on this one, 2291, although it comes up as 02291 when I look it up. So I went in and I said, okay, that that error is an integrity constraint. Parent key not found, an attempt was made to insert or update a foreign key value. Okay, so the result was the value was not in the parent key. Okay, so I went and looked up this particular error. So then I said, okay, now I'm going to test for this particular error. And the way you do that is explained in the sentence up above. Okay, the data shown in the data, Notice that I first defined a name for the exception and then used pragma exception initial, or INIT. Okay, that's what you need to write. And ask me that 3 days from now and I will not tell you what it means. Okay, because I basically have to look that up. It's kind of like the DBMS line. I am incapable of writing that DBMS line without looking at it.
Yeah.
It's got four parts, and I'm absolutely incapable of doing that.
Input underscore.
Yeah, well, probably one here, right here. Yeah. DBMS underscore output dot
there
put
is.
Underscore line.
Yeah.
Okay, I am incapable of writing that. Without looking. In fact, it is on a sticky at the top of my computer so that I have it. Okay, so, anyway. Huh? Yes, I have a series of things that I can't remember up there that I can look at. And I know what I can't remember, and that one I can't remember, okay? Well, I also can't remember pragma exception underscore INIT. Okay, that one's not going to happen. And so, in parenthesis, so I start out, and in the declare, I say E underscore invalid order number, and that's my own name. Okay, so finally you get to do something. That's my own name for this. And I then write the word exception. So that defines this variable as an exception. Okay. So then I put in the pragma exception initial, that name, comma, and the error that I want to pick up, which is 2291. Okay. Minus or negative sign 2291. So I'm putting that error in. Yeah, and apparently that I've done it with the zero and it's okay. But the way that they tend to do it is not have the leading zero right. Okay, so now I've also declared three fields. Order number, item number, and number ordered. So instead of reading something, I just declared them here. And the order number is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The item number is 1, 2, 1, 2. And the order number is 100. Okay, so basically, I want to insert this into order line. And the problem is that the foreign key is not going to work. Okay? So that order number does not exist. Okay. So I am anticipating that that's a problem, or I wouldn't have set up the way to handle it as an error. So now I've got down here when, and I use that name that I defined, when E invalid order number, then foreign key problem, no order number on orders. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 does not appear on orders. And so when I try to insert it into order line, it's basically saying there is no order of that number, so you can't have an order line related to that order. Okay? So I am catching that error and putting out a message. And you can see down below here, there's the message. Because that particular one is not going to work. Okay.
Unless you're an update table.
Pardon me?
Unless you're an update table and create one.
That's right. I mean, I obviously can go in and add an order first, but if I try to add on my order, remember, my orders table is got the ID number of the orders and the person that ordered it and that sort of thing. The order line is each individual item in the order. So I have an order line that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The item number is 1212, and the number ordered is 100. So I'm trying to put in an order line for an order that doesn't exist. Okay? And I anticipated that this might be the problem, and so I set up an exception to handle that. Okay, so basically what I'm here at is if I anticipate certain errors, I can set up exceptions to handle it. But then I have the when others then, and I put out undefined error occurred. So at least if other things happen, I'm putting out an undefined error occurred. It basically means if something else went wrong. Okay? I mean, what I've done is I've anticipated what I think the problem is going to be. But there might be, and if I anticipate more than one, I would put more than one of these in.
It's not going to process it either way. You're going to get the error message that says foreign key problem, no order.
Right.
Okay.
If there is no, if that is the problem.
Yeah.
And you can see it happen down here, foreign key problem, no order on orders.
Yeah.
So there it is. Okay. Now we're going to make him happy. We're going to let him have his own error.
Me?
Yeah, you.
The spoiled brat, just
the candy
bar? The spoiled brat.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so basically here, I decided I didn't want to have the number ordered greater than 200 for some reason. That was me. I decided that. So I'm not talking at this point about an Oracle error. Okay, the first two were looking at Oracle errors. One was looking at the ones that they decided to predefine and give you words for, and the other's looking at ones that have just an order number, error number. So now I'm writing my own error. And so I said, E, number ordered over 200 exception. So I made that, okay, this is what I want to check. So this is, again, a way I can check data to make sure that the data that's coming in is accurate. And what I chose to do here is I said, okay, I'm putting in a record, and again, I just hard-coded in a record. So I'm putting in a record, and if you look at it, the number ordered is 300. Okay, I don't want that. So I'm saying if number ordered is greater than 200, then raise that exception. So I'm telling it that this is an exception, and I'm saying raise that exception. Okay? And when that exception is raised, it will take the line down here that says when E number ordered over 200, then put out that message there. Okay, so basically, I am calling and putting out the error. But this was my decision. Okay, and if I had wanted to, I could have checked to make sure that the item number was in a certain range, or I could check anything I want to check, because I can put in any if statement that I want to put in here and raise an error. So I can raise whatever error it is that I want to raise. So I can do whatever checking I want to do. Okay. So again, all of these can be combined into one program. So I can have one of the whens can be from that first group that we looked at, the predefined. One of the whens could be like from the second group, and I could have this one. So I can have a whole series of these defined within the declare. And then I can have a whole series of whens down here that puts out the appropriate error message by name. Each of these messages have a name. Okay, now on the first one, I was using an oracle name. Okay, so when I come back here, on the first one, I'm using an oracle name. From that point on, I am defining the name with the word exception after it. Okay. Now, if you want to, this undefined error occurred is not a great, is not telling me a lot of good stuff. So I can go in, and on the undefined error, I can actually ask it to give me the error code and the error message. And SQL code gives me the error code, and SQL error M gives me the error message. So again, I did the one where the foreign key problem, and it came up and said, okay, undefined error. Error code is -2291, so they got rid of the 02. And error message, their official error message was that. So I printed out the error code and the error message. Okay. Well, notice the error message also had the error code, so I probably didn't have to do them both, but I was showing that. So on the when others, that's a good idea to do, so that the when other is going to give me something more specific. So if I ask the when other to show me the error code and the error message, or just the error message, then I know what the other that occurred is.
I have a question about the ways.
Yep.
That's like saying display, right? So like if it's...
No, it's not saying display.
Display.
It's saying cause that to happen.
Cause?
Cause. Make that happen. It's saying here, if the number is greater than 200, make that error happen. So okay. Basically turn that error on.
Okay.
And then display happens down in the when. So the raise means raise the error, as in trigger the error, as in show the error, I mean as in say, not show, as in say this error happened, whatever you want to call it, but it's activating that error. And then the when will be the thing that does the display. But it will only display it if the error got raised. Questions? So those are three things that you can throw into your programs that essentially let you know about errors. And they're worthwhile doing. Okay. The next one that we basically, as I've told you, we've got to get through procedures, functions, and triggers. Those are the three things that we have left to do. Okay, and... So we're going to get through procedures, functions, and triggers. Now, if you look at the calendar, we have in November today and two other days. Okay? Because we only have next Tuesday, because next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And if you look at December, we've got 2 weeks in December. My goal is to not have any classes the last week. To have you be able to work on the final and work on getting caught up and all that good stuff. So basically, counting today, we have 5 more days. So we're going to plow through this stuff in 5 more days, okay? And then hopefully we'll have that day off, that week off. The 9th and the 11th will hopefully be off. You know, I'll be here and you can come in and
work or not work, but I'm hoping that we're done. That's my goal. We're plowing through. So now we're going to procedures. Okay. So, first of all, an anonymous block is compiled each time the block is loaded. We've been doing anonymous blocks. An anonymous block is standalone code that is not stored within the database and cannot be called by other blocks. The alternative to a standalone block is a procedure, a function, a package, or a trigger, and we're not looking at packages. Mainly because procedures, functions, and triggers are the ones that are more heavily used. Which can be stored in the database and called from other blocks. Procedures and functions can be grouped together. They're basically subprograms. Okay, so essentially, we can have a procedure that is called by the main program that we have, which is, they call it an anonymous block. Okay. So the main program that we have can call procedures, and it can call functions, and it can have triggers set up. And we'll be talking about triggers. But triggers are kind of neat, and they trigger something to happen. They cause something to happen. So we can set up procedures, and we can set up functions, and this one is talking about setting up procedures. Okay, so a procedure is the same as a procedure in another language, or a module in another language, where in Visual Basic you have a whole bunch of subroutines. Yes, you have. Because 120's gotten there, so you should have gotten there. Okay. So, anyway. A procedure is a function, a subroutine, like a module or something like that. It's something that can be executed, something that can be called. They can either be internal or external. The ones we're looking at now are external. One of the other handouts that we'll look at makes them internal, where they're actually within the code. So I've got my program and I've got the procedure right within the code. And that's, again, true of most languages. You can either have a procedure or a function stored within the program, or they can be stored externally and called in. Okay? And called when they're needed. And that's what this particular handout is doing. Okay, so I've got a header used for name blocks and modules only. And then I have the word is and the begin and the exception. And the word is can be changed to an as. So this one I think is best if we bring up and we try it. So I'm going to say let's bring up SQL Plus. Only I think I just did it wrong. Aren't I supposed to log in with my name? Yeah. Okay. Get out.
Right.
T, am I supposed to put the colon in the slash?
No.
No, okay. But when I get here, I should have put...
At
O-R-C-L. It worked without it. But I think it doesn't save right if I don't do that. So I'm now in the SQL. Okay. I'm actually going to go down and do one down here because this one is really kind of straightforward and easy to do. So I'm going to say the first thing we want to do is create a table called the in-out table. Okay? And then I'll go back and look at the ones at the top. I'm going to look and see if I've already created that. And I have. So I don't have to do it. But you have to create that page. This one right here. Create table, in out table, column in, column out, column in, out. Yeah. Don't put anything in it, just create the table. I mean, you can... And I want to see what I've got in there. So I'm doing a select asterisk from in out table. And I've got a bunch of stuff, so I'm going to delete it. Okay. So I've now got my table and it's empty. So, I'm now going to come down here, and I have a procedure that I set up, okay, and I called it procedure calc, and I suspect I already have that as well, but we will see what I've got. But, essentially, I want to create this. So if I say edit, procedure calc, nope, it doesn't exist. So I'm saying yes, I want to make it, and I'm going to copy all of this stuff and put it in here. Okay. Now notice what I've got. I've got create or replace procedure, and we've seen that create or replace before, like in views. It's important that this would appear, process calc, be the same as the name. Okay, so I've created process calc. I've got that process calc up there. Then I am defining the things that are going to be sent to the procedure. So my regular program is going to call the procedure and it is going to send these things to the procedure. It's sending something that I call P for procedure in, out, and in out. Now, I define these, and we'll go back, as I said, and look at my other example. You don't have to use the in, out. In means it is coming in. Out means it's going out. Okay. And in out means both. Okay? If you don't put the words there, in, out, and in out, it will assume in. In is the default. Okay? So if I don't put anything there, it's assuming in. The word is can also be as. Okay, they apparently couldn't make up their mind. So you can have is or as there. Yeah. They apparently, as I said, couldn't make up their mind. So I'm going to be calling this procedure, and I'm going to be sending it three things that it's going to receive right here. Okay, and we'll play around with these and see. But this is my first thing. And then I said, okay, now P out, I'm actually going to calculate. I'm going to ignore, and I'm going to calculate P in and P in. And P in out is da-da-da-da. And then I'm writing it out. Yeah.
Is in and out like input and output?
Yes.
Okay.
So exclusively in, exclusively out, or in out. Okay. So, I'm saving this. So, I'm saying file, save, file, exit. Now,
in order to run this in the future, in order to use it, I have to run it. So I am now doing the at sign. Hello. Okay, what just went wrong? Edit pros calc, right? At sign pros calc. That is supposed to create the procedure. Did I not save it?
Welcome to my world.
Thank you. And how do you get out of your world most appropriately?
I usually re-log in.
Yeah, that's about where I'm going now.
Control C.
Huh? Yeah, that sometimes works.
When that points you to log out, Control C.
Yeah.
Ironically, mine worked.
Okay. Terminate the batch job, yes. Okay, so we will try that one more time. And I can't figure out what I did wrong. So, T, right? Okay, so if I say edit, PROC calc was the name of it, right? And there it is.
Access. Edit.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. You're right. When I copied and pasted, I missed the backslash. And in fact, if I hadn't been so aggravated with the thing, I would have realized that if I typed a backslash in at the 12, it probably would have worked. But I was aggravated with it. And when you're aggravated, sometimes you don't do the best things. Okay, so now I've got it. And now I'm saying at sign, process, calc. And it says procedure created. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, and that's what I need to do. Because I need to have compiled the procedure if I'm going to take the program and run it. And it's going to call the procedure has to be compiled and runnable. So I have to do that, run it, and get it set. And this is really annoying. Because essentially, anytime you go over and change the procedure for any reason, you got to remember to recompile it, or it's going to run the old version. And you're going to get frustrated as can be if you forget to do that, because it's going to keep running the old version and the change you make is not going to be reflected, and you're going to wonder why the change isn't reflected, and it's because you didn't recompile it. That's the nice part about having them internal, is that the internal ones you don't have to do that with because they're internal. And I have decided that what I like, even if I want it to be external, I like writing it internally first, getting it running, and then pulling it out. So that when I'm testing the program internally, is a lot easier to test than externally. Okay, so that's my preference. Okay, so we've got that created. And now we're going to go down to have the program. Okay, so the program I called calc pros calc. I don't quite know why I did that, but that's all right. Calc pros calc. And what I'm putting in there is this. And this time I got the slash. Okay, so what this one is doing is I have defined three numbers, and I've defined them as when taking user input water. And then I've said, okay, go do that subroutine.
process calc and pass it those three things. Okay, so I'm going and doing the subroutine and I am passing it those three things. Okay. So I'm going to save this. Okay, so now I'm back here and I'm going to say @ calc process calc. And it says enter the input value for that, so I'm going to put in 12. And I'm going to put in 15, and I'm going to put in 17. And the process is complete. So now I need to see what happens, so I'm going to say select asterisk from in out table. Okay. And this is what I have. Let me pull this up. So what I've got going on here, here are the two things. Okay. So I said send over 15, 12, 15, and 17. And it received them. But I over here said actually P out is going to be the two inputs added together. So 12 plus 12, so it's 24. And the in out one is going to be the input added three times. And so it's 36. And so really all I needed to send here to make this work was the P in. I didn't have to send the others because in fact I didn't want anything to do with those. Okay, so I have got that as my output. Okay, so if I now go back and let's see how I want to edit it. I want to edit calc process calc. And I am only going to send the input to it. Okay, so I'm taking that out and I'm only sending the input. And in fact, since I'm only sending the input, I don't need that. So I've got this very small thing now. Okay. And then I'm going to edit process calc. And I am going to Yeah. Okay. And then I've got these two. Right? Okay, so I have only P in coming in, but I've also defined P out and P output. And I think that will work. I'm actually going to call these variables because they're now variables. So as soon as I get this done, the first thing I have to do is @ process calc. And I had a compilation error. I was afraid of that.
I think it's because...
P out.
Yeah.
Instead of P out, it should be V out.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you didn't
and that should be... That should be... Okay. File, save, file, exit. Hello? Thank you. Okay, @
process calc. Still has a compilation error. It's the use of the is. I'm trying to remember. I played with this yesterday a lot, and I'm trying to remember what I played with. I did one similar. It's the use of the word is. Okay. Why am I not remembering what I did? File, open, and I saved one of them just in case I didn't remember. No, that's the same way. The is in the right place. Okay, this one actually worked.
So I had written this and said, create or replace procedure, test procedure 2. P in is a number, P in out was a number. And V out I did not see. And then I said, okay, V out equals that calculation. So I had the is in that place. I thought maybe I'd done the is wrong.
Does it matter what order your variables are in?
Well, the variables coming in have to be in the right order within the parentheses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here you just have number after each of the variables.
Yeah.
You don't have the in number, out number, in, out number. It just says number.
Ah, yes, you're right.
Also, they're not in the same order.
Well, in this one, I only sent one. So let me go back. You guys are going to be good fixers. As I said, I played with too many things yesterday, and I'm sitting there trying to remember what it is that worked and what it is that didn't, because I played with far too many things. Okay. So edit, process, calc. Okay, so we now have all three of these things sitting here. So, I said, okay, so we should, yes, this should definitely have not have been an in-out. And this should not have been an out, because those are variables. The in doesn't matter. I'm going to take it out, but then I'm going to actually try putting it back in because, as I said, the in is the default. Okay? So if I take those out, file, save, file, exit, and now we're going to try compiling it. And this is the other good reason to compile it is I actually will know it's got still got a compilation error.
I left the one in parentheses alone. I put the in. I left the in.
You left the in, and yours worked?
I did, and mine worked. So it's just really sensitive towards the variables.
Yes. All right, so yours looks like mine now? Promise? Okay.
For the grandma trick. Crush fingers.
At sign, process, calc. Okay, so yours is better than mine, but we now have to figure out where. Okay.
Where's the counterclockwise?
You have too many spaces between V variable underscore out and number. You got an extra space.
That shouldn't make any difference. But being paranoid, I'll fix it.
P in for P out, and in out should be variables, not P.
Good plan. Yes, right.
Everything else looks like what I have.
Okay. This is really supposed to have been quite easy. Ta-da! Procedure created. Yay! And so now, I don't even remember if I fixed the other one, did I? edit, calc, pros, calc. I think I fixed that one, yes.
All right.
So now we're going to say at calc process.
Now it should give you the same results, right?
Well, no, because I just ended 45. Well, I mean, it should give me 45, 90, and 135, right?
No, I mean, like, the procedure would be the same.
Huh?
Because
you're just talking. Why do I say haunt to you a lot? What?
Because it's still doing the same calculation. You just took out the bulk, basically.
Right.
Okay.
I just took out the extras because I wasn't even using the stuff.
So if you put in 12, it would give you the same exact row.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted.
So if we run this again and we say edit, calc, process, calc, and I didn't mean to edit it. Okay. At sign, calc, process, calc. And I put in a 12, it succeeded. And when I say select asterisk from in out table, then I've got the 12, 24, 36.
Like a lot of trouble trying to simplify it.
Really, you think? So basically what I've got here is I'm passing stuff over to the procedure and then the procedure's running. Now, obviously, if I were doing something this rinky-dink, I wouldn't be bothering to use a procedure. I would just do the calculation in the main program. What's the value of a procedure? It's if you have something that you want to do for multiple programs. And so rather than having to code it more than once, you just code it once. And you call it from a variety of programs.
And it's saved externally.
It's saved externally. And I can just call it from a variety of programs. So, you know, the example I always use is check digits. That if you have things that are creating an ID has a check digit on it, and to check that it's a valid ID. And the code that you generate, that you write to generate that check digit, is usually a paragraph long of some kind. And so if you want to do it once, and you then save it, and every program that needs to check the ID and make sure it's a valid ID can call that routine and validate that the check digit is correct. And so you only have to write it once, and you don't have to put it in every program that is going to check and see if I've got a valid ID. Okay, so it's a good thing to do. Okay, if we go back up at the top, I had a couple of them where I said, okay, this is a create or replace procedure, add donation. Okay, so I was adding in a donation here. And notice on this one, I've got, this is the procedure, and in this particular one, I did all of that. I didn't use the in, out, or anything because I wanted them all to be in. And I've got an as this time instead of an is. So the procedure is doing the insert. That's kind of what I decided to do in these examples. On this one, I wrote the end with the name after it, but the end is enough. You don't have to write the end with the name after it. Some people kind of like that because it shows the end of the procedure, then ties it to the name, but it's up to you. Okay, so then I wrote the block of code down here. And again, if I said I only wanted to call this if the contribution amount was greater than 20. So if the contribution amount is greater than 20, I call that subroutine or that pump procedure and I send it those four things. It receives the four things and it uses it to create a record. And so I'm adding in a record, and down here, okay, I put in the numbers and it added the record. Okay. So on this one, instead of just hard coding it in, I had the user type in the information that they wanted. And I said, okay, if the contribution amount is greater than 20, call the procedure and send it those four things. So it sends it those four things, and when it receives those four things, it inserts them, and I now have a record. It has created a record. And again, the example here is, you know, pretty routine, but there are times when you have a massive amount of code that you have to repeat, and it's nice to then put it in a procedure, and you don't have to call it. I mean, you don't have to include it all the time. Okay, so I've got the in-out that we just looked at. And I tried a variety of different things with this, but they're all basically just twiddling with it, which is what we did. And I'm trying to think if there's anything in here that isn't. No, I think that does it. Okay, internal procedures. If you look at, I skipped functions for now because we've only got about 6 or 7 minutes, so I went over here to internal procedures. Okay, and we'll look at functions on Thursday. But this is how to put in an internal procedure.
Okay, so I now have my regular program, and this is the declare of the regular program. Then I've got the procedure within the declare. Okay, so I've set up the procedure within the declare. And this is where I like putting the name on the end when it's internal, because it kind of, this is the procedure and this is the end. Now notice I don't have the create or replace, because I'm not creating an external object. Okay, I'm not creating an external thing. I'm using it inside here, so I just say this is the procedure. Okay, so I've got my procedure set up, and this is the one we just looked at. And so I handle it really exactly the same way. Okay, I say, go ahead and drop down to the begin. And the begin says, if the con amount is greater than 20, then go up and do that procedure. And it does the procedure and does the insert. Okay, so it is inside the program. So the big difference is that I do not create or replace, because I'm not creating a separate module. I'm just doing this. Okay, and I think we have a, do we have a table called new donation? Okay, I don't have it either, so I'm gonna say create table. Well, this one is using new donation. So I'm going to create table new donation as select asterisk from donation. Okay, so I've now got a table called new donation. Okay. So I can now take this code and come in here and say
create, yeah, right, edit. What did I call it? I called it call, add with an extra DONPROC1, just to stick with what I called it. Do you want to create a new file? Yes, and I'm pasting that in there. Okay, and it's got new donation and all the rest of it. Okay, so I'm going to exit. And before I do anything, I want to see what's in new donation. Mine does, because I took everything that was in donation, so that may come in. So I've got ID numbers and drive numbers, so I know what it is that I can enter in, because over here it's going to prompt me for an ID number and a drive number. So I need to know what's a valid ID number and what's a valid drive number. Okay, so that's why I went to look, so that I would know what was valid. Okay. So now I'm going to run, except that, okay. I think I'm all right. I left out an ad, but that's all right. At, whoops.
Are you going to call it donations?
What? At.
Yeah, I called my donations.
Well, as long as you're consistent. Enter the value for the ID, so I'm going to enter 22222. Enter the drive number, I'm going to enter 200. Let's see. And enter the contribution amount, and I'm entering 15. And the procedure was successfully completed. And now if I do a select asterisk from new donation, I should see, only I don't, insert into new donation, okay. Oh, why don't I see it? I do. I put in a donation of 15 and I said only do it if it's greater than 20. Ta-da! So, that means I want to run it again. And now I'm going to put in 12121, and I'm going to put in 300, and I'm going to put in 100. And it's successfully completed, and select asterisk from new donation, and I've got the record in there. And I didn't put in a date. But that's okay, because I told it I wasn't going to put in a date. Now, if I had this table, if the table had had keys established that involved the date, then I'd have to put in the date. Okay, but there weren't any keys established on that. So it worked okay. But if there is a key established, then I have to put in the entire key, and the donation key we've made has included the date. Okay? So that's how I can do the procedure internally. So I can have my procedure either external or internal. If I put it internally, then it's a matter of copying and pasting. It would still be better on the whole to have an external one if it's something I want to use for multiple programs. But as I said, one of the ways that I found it's easier to test is to put it in as an internal and then test it and then say, okay, no, now I'll take it out. But when you take it out, the only thing you have to do is copy and paste it and then do a create and replace and create it on the outside. You did it. And it worked.
Well, I had to fix this that way. I said do donations.
Yeah.
Because I messed up on the regular donation people. It's called put an S on it.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it worked.
As long as you, you know, remember to do all these things,
and
you're fine.
The catalog. I do this select asterisks from cats to see what I did.
Right. Okay, we are done. We will finish up with looking at procedures and functions, hopefully on Thursday. And we'll see how we're doing. So far, we're doing well. I've got a few things I want to go back and look at, like records and types.